You're listening to The Takeout.
How lucky are you? You're so incredibly lucky because you are dipping into The Takeout Outtake Especial. Our guest, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, who is going to Ecuador very soon to climb some kind of mountain. Why? What is that about?
Well, let me give you the short story.
Okay, please.
I was in Ecuador attending Habitat 3, an international gathering of mayors and cities from all over the globe. I was down there, and I had occasion, since I was traveling, and it was the middle of the fall, and the campaign was on. I said, hey, are there Democrats abroad that want to get together, and maybe we can have an event for Secretary Clinton? So I met these two brothers, Dave and Greg Krupa, and these guys are doing some amazing things as compassionate Americans. 80% of the world's amputees actually live in developing parts of this world, and only about 1% of them ever receive the prosthetic, limb that would allow them to lead more functional and mobile lives. So these guys have taken upon them this project of repurposing what are often discarded limbs in the United States or other countries, and then giving people their lives back and their mobility. An example of the fact and the truth that just because in the perspective of many of us, we've lost leadership in the White House, doesn't mean that Americans have to give up their leadership in this world. So, rompglobal.org is doing a big climb to raise awareness and money in conjunction with the, I think, anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And they're going to be solidarity climbs around the world. But my son William and I are going to be climbing Mount Cayambe on the equator. I've got friends going on my website contributing dollars to this, which I think is linked to the rompglobal.org website for those of you listening and inclined to help.
So the idea is surplus, or let's say I have a prosthetic and I get a new one, the one I just had can become part of this larger collection that right. can then go to people in the developing world. Am I understanding that correctly?
You're understanding that correctly. And some of the people that are going to be climbing this mountain are actually amputees themselves. It's a pretty inspiring story. And there'll be people from all over the world that are coming there to help promote this cause. And I'm so proud of these two brothers and the good work that they're doing and the face that they put on a compassionate and generous America.
One thing that we like to do on this podcast, Governor, is break down terminology that many people in Washington understand, but many in America may not be so familiar with. So when they hear Democrats abroad or Republicans abroad, they may not know what that means. And I'm serious about that. Tell them what that means.
Yeah, so Democrats abroad and Republicans abroad, I mean, it's people that are Americans that retain their residency
and voting
legal
rights.
Residency and voting rights and can participate. If you ever tuned into the conventions, they elect delegates, I think, or at least have people there, and so these are Americans.
So you were there in Ecuador. That's how you met these guys.
I did. Whenever I traveled during the campaign, if I was traveling out of the country, I'd always ring them up and I'd ask, "Hey, you guys think we can do something for the party and Hillary Clinton?" And they were always glad to have somebody from the States come and a reason to get together.
Excellent, Steve Chigueras, the world's greatest podcast sidekick. I turn to you, as I always do.
Another thing we like to do on this podcast is go through the viewer mailbag.
Yes. Viewer and listener mailbag. We actually have one, Governor.
A great letter.
A groaning mailbag.
A great letter. We can all participate in this letter. From
okay.
Josephine and Emily, Newcastle, Indiana. I love this letter. I read it.
Hello, Josephine and Emily.
Had to bring it. For the last few weeks, we, roommates in Central Indiana, have spent either our Friday or Saturday night watching The Takeout on CBSN.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yay for the app on Roku. We do have a couple of questions for you. Major.
Yes.
Emily is dying to know, what exactly is the difference between medium plus and medium well?
Okay. Medium well is more done. Medium plus is just slightly more done than medium. Okay? And every steakhouse knows this.
Is it noticeable? Is it really noticeable?
Yes. Medium well gets you close to well done. And anyone will tell you that that's just not a way to have a steak. But
have
I like
heard
my
of this,
steaks
Governor?
Just
medium
just
plus.
Yes, it's a real deal. I guarantee you.
How do you order your steaks?
I just say medium.
See, right. Medium. Keep it simple. All right. So both Major and Steve.
But medium plus is not as plus as medium well.
Okay. Thanks,
it's
Major.
It's medium well minus.
Thank
it's
you.
Medium well minus, okay?
To both Major and Steve, and I'm going to include the governor on this question. Josephine wonders, if we have pets and or any amusing stories about said pets. Now, Major,
I have no pets.
Have you ever had pets?
Yes. I had a beloved dog, Ruffy. My mother named him after myself and my brother, so his name was Major, my name, Ruff, so Major Ruff Martin. My brother's name is Marty.
That was the dog's name?
Yes, and my dog was a
combination. Did the dog know it had three names?
Yes. It only answered to Ruffy, though.
Okay.
And Ruffy was a Shetland sheepdog collie mix that looked very much like Lassie. And if you are a man of a certain age, as I am, 54, Lassie was a very big deal on television. All my friends thought my dog looked like Lassie, and that saved me from the otherwise unrelenting despair of growing up with a name like Major and having glasses at the age of 5 years old.
So that's an amusing story about your pet?
Yes.
I don't have
amusing
any.
As I get.
I used to do a routine with our, God rest your soul, and the Jesuits tell me dogs do go to heaven.
Yes. How could they not?
Our family golden retriever lady. She was a mad woman for the piece of bread. Just really went nuts with it. So
bread?
Bread. White, just Wonder Bread. So my routine was to hold a piece of bread in my hand and back to Lassie in front of the kids, or I would say, she would see me holding it, and she'd start barking, doing the roof, roof, roof thing. I'd say, "What is it, lady? What is it?" And she'd go, "Roof, roof, roof." And I'd say, "Johnny's trapped in the barn out back? Roof, roof, roof." And we'd replay the 1960s Lassie
Come Home episode 59.
It's interesting what foods dogs will go crazy for. My dog Millie, who's a beagle mix, 18 pounds, little sweetheart. She's the calmest dog you've ever seen, but popcorn of all things. While it's popping and after it's popped, this dog, you'd think it was like the last meal on earth. She goes insane. Never barks, okay. But she is just... And one of the first things she could catch out of midair was popcorn. That's it. Shut her down.
Yep.
All night, she could eat it.
Thank you for that letter. That was an excellent...
Josephine and Emily from Newcastle, Indiana, thank you.
Thank you very much. So we like to ask Governor, our guest, a couple of basic questions we find interesting and slightly revealing. So if you were to tell us your favorite book, your favorite band, and your favorite movie, what would they be?
Oh, favorite band, Bruce Springsteen, E Street Band.
We get a lot of that.
Favorite...
it doesn't have to be absolute favorite, but something that's in your pantheon.
My pantheon. Favorite... Let me start with favorite... Favorite movie. I like, both Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. David Lean.
And Lawrence of Arabia.
Another David Lean. That's two David Leans. Pierre Boulez wrote?
Book.
Bridge Over the River Kwai. Of course, T.E. Lawrence wrote the book that became Lawrence of Arabia. But both David Lean pictures and sensational in their own right.
Yeah, let me think of a book. I wish I knew this question was coming.
Or anything that you've read recently that you kind of dug. It doesn't have to be. I'm not trying to pressurize you or anything.
No, I like Thomas Merton's stuff. I really been reading a lot of that, Seven Story Mountain. I also Jack Maple's book, Crime Fighter, is... was another great read.
If you are thinking about Bruce Springsteen, so there, like any artist that has a long and storied career, is there a particular part of the Bruce Springsteen creative era that you like more than another?
The whole. Whenever he would come to D.C., mm-hmm. and I grew up in this area, whenever he played the Capitol Center. I always made a point of going there. I find that he's in essence. I quote him in the talk I've been giving. It's the poet laureate of the American dream. He asks, "Is a dream a lie in the river? Is a dream a lie if it don't come true, or is it something worse?" And that's kind of where we're at right now as a country. So whether it's Born to Run or Land of Hope and Dreams, which I quoted in the eulogy for my dad, I just think the guy, for my life anyway, really speaks to this American experience that we all share in a very passionate, hopeful, optimistic, but also realistic way.
And for those of you who don't know, Governor O'Malley plays. He's a musician. Tell us about that.
I do. In fact, this is one of the very few Irish bars where they wouldn't hire me.
Really?
Yeah, they had a rule here that you have to be native Irish in order to be on the stage. And so I grew up in this area, and I hit the supply-demand curve at the right time. There were about 7 Irish bars, including, you know, Murphy's in Northern Virginia, Ireland Zone, and Flanagan's up in Bethesda. 7 Irish bars and only three full-time Irish bands. Mm. So my friends and I, from Gonzaga mostly, weren't very good, but they kept paying us to get better.
Isn't that a great thing? Pay to get better?
At the age of 16, I was playing at Matt Cain's on its last legs, and I would play kind of Wednesday through Saturday, making more money than I would have made, you know, cleaning dishes at the pizzeria or bussing tables. And so that's what I did. So I have, even today, there's 7 of us in my band. It's humbly entitled O'Malley's March, and we do kind of a rockified folk Irish thing.
Excellent. There's another Guinness. That's my payment for today. Thank you very much. Steve Shigaris, the world's greatest podcast sidekick, as always, thank you.
Governor
O'Malley, you've been a great sport.
Hey,
thanks for joining us. We'll see
Steve,
you down.
Thank you.
We'll see you down the road.
Thanks, gentlemen.
This has been the Takeout Outtake Especial.
The Takeout is produced by Arden Farhi, Nick Feynman, Katiana Krachenko, and CBS Radio News. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and visit takeoutpodcast.com for more information.
What's the secret of my popularity? Honestly, it's my looks. I'm very handsome. That's the only thing I can think of right now. Okay.